Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
I'm BJ.
And this week, we are just catching up with all the video game stuff that we've been playing, news we've gotten. Plus, last week was kind of a somber affair because of Toriyama's passing, and that was really the first time you and I got to record in a while, but we didn't get to have fun. It wasn't like, yay, we're back.
No. It's like, let's talk about this wonderful dead artist that we love.
Yeah. So today's more of the yay, fun stuff episode, I guess. For anybody listening, I guess top news of the day, most recent news of the day, Sandland demo kind of surprise dropped yesterday for when we're recording. It dropped, was that Monday night?
It was yesterday, I think, is when you messaged me about it. I'll probably get a chance to do it tonight, to actually download it and play it tonight.
It's really good. It's short. It doesn't, if you're looking for like story stuff, like there's not a lot in the demo, but it's kind of what, it's kind of about right. What I expected. I mean, it lets you try out the combat, and it lets you try out the vehicle combat, which I'm very excited for. Did you play Twisted Metal back in the day, like PS1?
Oh, Twisted all Metal? The time. Oh man, Twisted Metal was one of my favorite games. Actually, when I first got my PlayStation, Twisted Metal 1 came on a demo disc, and so my friend Luke and I basically played that disc until it has more hours in it than maybe even World of Warcraft for me. Then Twisted Metal 2 came out and basically just took over my life in multiplayer. Like, it was so great. Like, I haven't played it in a long time, but oh man, I loved Twisted Metal.
Okay, I did too. Twisted Metal 2 is the one that I remember the most fondly and played the most.
Right. Yep.
Don't get me wrong. I'm going to say, hey, it's like Twisted Metal, and people are going to be like, guy who only plays Twisted Metal is like, this is giving Twisted Metal vibes. But no, it really did. I mean, the vehicle combat, it's really fun, and I think if I were trying to compare it to something like broad that like a lot of people could understand, I would say Twisted Metal is really, like, I mean, that's kind of a dead franchise at this point, outside of, like, the, what was it, on Peacock?
There's a
show?
Peacock show on it that got a second season renewed.
Yeah, but in terms of actual games, kind of a dead franchise right now.
I think there's a new one coming out, isn't there?
I don't think so. Anyway, it's kind of like that. It's also, it reminds me a little bit, did you ever play Jak 3, the Jak and Daxter 3 on PS2?
No, I've never been a Jak person.
Oh, man, those are so good, too.
I did not like them, and I haven't gone back to try them again since I got into the Insomniac older games. Or maybe it was, Jak wasn't Insomniac.
Jak is a Naughty Dog. It's what they followed up after Crash Bandicoot.
Naughty Dog.
Yeah. Anyway, so it kind of reminds me of Jak 3 a little bit, because, you know, you're out there in the desert, you're riding around the vehicles. In Jak 3, they had the dune buggies, and you're shooting at bugs and stuff like that. Anyway, it reminded me a lot of Jak 3, which I also loved, not as well as some of the others, but, you know, I really liked that game, Twisted Metal. Like, I had a blast. It looks fantastic, the cell shading and just the art style and everything. I mean, it looks like, even more than Dragon Quest XI, this feels like you're just playing through like Toriyama, like a colorful Toriyama, like manga. Like it looks like hand drawn,
wow,
like illustrations come to life. I mean, it's very cool. I really love the art style behind it. I mean, it's just
like
it's
that's saying a lot with saying that it looks with more than like Dragon Quest XI, because that's one where it's like just perfect.
Right, but it still looks like a game. But like Sandland,
that's
the
true
kind of art,
yeah,
style to me is kind of like Spider-Verse, or like even more than Spider-Verse, like the Mutant Mayhem, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. You know how the character,
yeah,
designs,
oh, so
look like they were hand-drawn, sketched, everything?
Uh-huh.
It reminds me of that a lot. Like that's what I mean when I'm like, it's illustrations, these colorful illustrations like come to life. Like that's what it reminds me a lot of.
I gotcha. That's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I just adore it. The actual, the like regular, like more RPG combat and running around and stuff feels a lot like Blue Dragon,
okay,
which, you know, I'm ecstatic about. Like the look of it, at least, not necessarily combat or characters or anything, but just the look,
yeah,
of it. Like as you're running around as like Beelzebub and everything in these like closed in corridors, I was like, man, this feels like running around in those earlier sections of Blue Dragon, like Disc 1, Blue Dragon.
Wow.
I can't remember the area, but like the high-tech ruins that you go to earlier in that game.
Yeah.
Where I
need to play it so much.
I think Sandland was one of those games that I was going to play anyway, because, I mean, it's Toriyama. I like,
mm-hmm,
the manga, and, you know, it's my kind of game. I was going to play it anyway, but the demo just really sold me on it, where I was like, wow, this is way more fun than I expected it to be. And if the entire game is like this, like, yeah, I'm 100% behind this. Like, I mean, based on things that we know are coming out this year, I'm like, wow, is Sandland going to be like my favorite game this year? Like, I mean, I really had fun with it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into that one, because when I saw the trailer immediately, I was like, this is right up my alley. And so it's really nice to see that, hear that it's really good. And I'm actually really happy that the demo is short. That these days, that makes me want to play a demo more, knowing that I'm not going to have to invest like 4 to 6 hours, which I know used to, I would have really liked that. But now I'm like, give me an hour or two of gameplay and then let me decide if I want the game, rather than feeling like I have to complete this to get, if there's a bonus or something that may not carry over that time. And you know how I hate like replaying the same kind of things over and over again. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that it's short and that maybe I can play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those demos where if you, like, you could probably rush through it pretty quickly.
Right.
But also, because of the nature of it and everything, like, you could also, I mean, theoretically, I guess, if you wanted to just drive around in the desert for a little bit, I mean, you could just keep driving around in the desert, you know, for a little while. Just like in other demos, yep, how you could just, you know, run through, like, the desert with your party in, like, the Bravely Default 2 demo or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you could spend some solid time with it and everything. I'll probably end up messing around in the game a little bit more before it comes out. It comes out like April 24th. So I'll probably mess around with it a little bit more in the meantime, just to kind of get a better hold on like systems and things.
Yeah.
Before it comes out. But yeah, I'm excited for it. So the other thing that you and I have both been playing.
Yeah, we've both been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And
wait, before you continue, I just have to interject with one little like nugget of like a factoid here. Before we talk about this at all, I just want everybody to know that BJ and I both started playing FF7 Rebirth at around the same time.
Yep.
And we both, I think around the same time, started just playing Dragon Quest VI again because it was more fun.
Yep, pretty much. We might be the only two people, from what I've read on the internet, that think that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is as close to garbage as a Final Fantasy game has gotten in a long time.
I wouldn't say it's as close to garbage. Like, I like it still more than Remake, but it has...
See, I do not. I like Remake so much better than I like Rebirth. Rebirth is like Rebirth just feels so piecemeal. Like you said, like you were starting to say before I interrupted, that there's just so many mini games, but it's like so much of the game doesn't feel cohesive. And that's one thing that I felt that Remake had, was that even though it was really linear, it was a cohesive game and that it all fit together. And this game feels like, because they went with the open world and they have so many different kinds of mini games, that it is just a hodgepodge of ideas that are in no way add up to being more than what they are individually. In fact, I think it detracts because of that. Because of how many different things there are, I think it detracts from the whole rather than adding up into something nicer.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of problems with it. And like I told you a few days ago, whatever, like I've kind of just called it on Rebirth for now. Which,
yeah.
I mean, I quit Remake like 3 times, I think. And I would just go back to it and play like a chapter or two, get mad about something, and then just quit for like 6 months. I'm sure I'll get to it eventually, where it's like, there's a story and there are characters that I care about and would like to know and see in this game. But yeah, I think the problem is that it's way too many mini games, and that's what's kind of killed it for me. Is it was just like, you get done with chapter 5, I think it is, where it's just like playing Queen's Blood on a cruise ship is pretty much the whole chapter. And then you immediately get on Costa del Sol. It's just a bunch more mini games, and you've already been doing mini games, and it's just constant. And that kind of what made me stop it this time around, is I was just like, man, I can't handle all these mini games. It's kind of like you said, where it doesn't feel cohesive. Like Yakuza and Like a Dragon, like they have a ton of mini games, but like those are fun. Like, and it's not that the FF7 Rebirth's minigames aren't fun, it's just that there's way too many of them, and way too many of them are mandatory. Like, it's not like, okay, you like in Yakuza Like a Dragon, Yakuza 7? Is a good example. We did an episode on that, and I know you've played that one. Like, it's one of those where it's like, there's so many minigames in there, but they're optional. Like, I'm going back, I'm thinking, like, if you want to play all those Sega games, like, you don't have to do that to play through the story. You can just go in there, like, Ichiban can walk in there, sit down, and, you know, you can select some of those classic Sega games and just play them inside of Yakuza, but you're not forced to. It's not like, in order to advance Chapter 8, here's 10 tickets, and you have to take your friends and play through each of these at least 10 times and get a certain score before you can progress. And, like, there's just way too much of it. And I really did think that you and I might be the only person people who feel that way.
You and I are the only person. We're one person.
Yeah. But I saw a tweet this morning where it was just like, just for fun, like, tell me something negative about FF7 Rebirth that, like, somebody pushed on Twitter. And a whole lot of the comments are actually too many mini games. So I don't think it's just us. I think a lot of people, now that the initial hype has kind of settled, I think a lot of people are really, like, starting to see that. And yeah, it's like, I love open world games and I don't mind busy work, but so much of it, of the open world, it's just like I think I said to you, like, if this had been a Ubisoft game, like, people would be crying about Ubisoft bloat and how none of it matters. And like Hogwarts Legacy, when it came out, faced that kind of criticism where it was like the open world was just a lot of busy work. And FF7 Rebirth really does, it is that. I mean, it's just like, you go collect this intel for Chadley, who is super annoying, and it seems like everyone's annoyed by him, so that's not just
man
us.
He is the worst. I wish they hadn't made him the main character.
Yeah, in a lot of ways he is the main character of this game, and I think it all really goes to the problem I had with Rebirth. Is the entire time I was playing it, I was like, this should not have been divided up into 3 games, and Rebirth makes me feel that way even more, where I'm like, if this had been a real remake that was one game that told the entire story of FF7, even in new ways, the way that these games are, like, I would have been fine with that. But it felt like Remakes felt padded in the sense that there was just a lot of, like, slow down walkie talkie areas where it's just like you can barely walk, and you're doing that old cliche that they put in every AAA game now, where you're, like, squeezing through a corridor with, like, your hands up against the wall
to slow everything down.
Yeah, to pad it out. And this one feels like that. Like, I'm at chapter 7 and there's only 14 chapters, and like PS5 tells me I'm like halfway through the game now, and I feel like mm-hmm. the game hasn't even started. Like, I feel like I've just really like played mini games, and I feel like there's not much of the story yet. And
right,
I feel like that's how this game got padded, is that it took this really important like section of the original game, and it's padded it out with so much open world busy work and like mini games. And because the mini games are locked with, so many of them are locked within the main story, it's not even like you can just concentrate on the story, which is what I wish they had done. Because I think if, as much as I like mini games and busy work, like if there were a way where I could have just like focused on playing through the story chapters of this and seeing the cutscenes and the characters and
yeah,
story beats, like I think I would have probably enjoyed that more. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It doesn't feel cohesive. It feels like a bunch of different gimmicks like slapdash together and made, and I'm not really a fan. I know a lot of people love it, and I'm glad that so many people seem to enjoy this game, but I can't.
And it makes me so sad, because I really liked Remake. I had no desire to go back to it once I finished it, but I was really, really glad that I played it and I loved it. And Rebirth is one of those games where I get bored playing it for more than like 15 minutes. Part of it is because the combat is entirely too simple. The combat's repetitive, and I don't really care what people say about Final Fantasy 16. It is exponentially more dynamic than Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. And it's slow.
I don't want to get like an either or thing started, but yeah, I loved FF16 way more than this.
No, I see that comparison a lot. Like, they're like, they finally fixed, this is what action combat should be. And I'm like, you literally press square and then some L1s, but you have to wait on the bar to fill up. And it's like, but you can't get the bar to fill up with the other people in your party. Like, it is just a slower, simpler version of the other one that I liked so much better. And I don't even think that that's coming from a comparison, like, in my mind, that I wouldn't have liked it before. I thought the combat in the other one was boring.
I just don't like
this particular combat system, because there are better ways to do it. But yeah, I mean, 7 and 7 Rebirth, I don't like Cloud. He's being a whole toolbox. Like, I don't remember in Remake him being this bad. This just, meh.
He still feels about the way he did in Remake to me.
You've played it since I have. Like, I played it when it was brand new, and beat it like within the first few weeks. So I haven't gone back to that. But I'm like, I guess I'm used to Zach being up and happy in Crisis Core. Like, he has a personality, and Cloud is a beige wall that has some like black mold growing on it.
I don't want to have spoilers, but that's actually a very appropriate analogy that I'm not going to get into right here. But yes, that's a good analogy, and people who have gotten that far in FF7 Rebirth will know exactly what I'm talking about toward the end. I haven't gotten there personally. I know all of the things because of work. But there are some things there are separate things I really like about FF7 Rebirth, but as a whole, it's just not really doing it for me right now. And I didn't like Remake either, and I don't know if it's getting older, if it's cynicism or what, but like the more and more games that just come out, I find myself like really liking the ones that the general public seems to be like, meh, it's all right on, and then really not liking the games that people are like, oh, this is a masterpiece.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, a lot of times for me too.
Like, I would not call FF7. I guess the exception would be like Baldur's Gate 3, which everybody seemed to think is a masterpiece, and I know.
I mean, it's truly wonderful. Like, yeah, I avoided it because everybody called it a masterpiece. Like, I didn't want to play it until all of the people around me were talking about it and telling me stuff. And I was like, actually, that does sound pretty good.
So, I mean, there are still popular games that I also enjoy or that I like, but generally, I just don't feel like it lines up with what most people like. And I don't know, I didn't feel that way when I was a kid. And maybe it's because I like games that still make me feel like when I was a kid. I don't know.
Right.
But
which is okay.
Like, that being said, you know, I mean, there's still, like, I think I probably had more fun just, like, goofing around in the Sandland demo than I have with the last, like, 10 hours I put into FF7 Rebirth. And, like...
Wow, yeah.
Like, that was a big thing. You and I were kind of laughing about it, that we went to Dragon Quest VI. Like, we were talking about DQ6 mm-hmm. quite a bit. I think it was yesterday, because we were talking about playing it over the weekend and all.
Right.
And everything. And, like, I sat down... I don't think I gave the update on that because of everything else that happened, but I did get my 2DS working, the 2DS XL liquid metal slime one.
I told
you that, but I don't think I said it on the podcast because I was worried about getting that working. Just that it was that cord, that charger, so the other one worked fine and it was all good. So I got it working and been playing it on that one. But this whole weekend I was like, I don't really... not in the mood to play a game, and I chipped away at Rebirth just a little bit, but I was like, it's not really what I'm in the mood for. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll play DQ6 for like an hour, you know, as my video game time since I'm replaying through that while BJ plays it. And like I ended up playing it a whole lot. Like I sank several hours into it just because it was fun and I was having fun, and it was not even like, because it was Dragon Quest or anything. It was just that I was having fun and like lost track of time and then found myself wanting to play it some more later in the day, like that night and everything, where I was like, I'm gonna play this some more. Where I'm not even into my favorite parts yet, where like the job system is unlocked, or even like the last like third of that game is really where I'm like, Dragon Quest VI, woo. the last like third is my favorite parts. And so like, I'm not even in my least favorite part of the game right now, really, but.
And I'm still at the very beginning of it, but I did the same thing. Like, I have more fun getting started and playing through it than I was in Final Fantasy Rebirth. And it's, I don't know what it says about me. But I guess that's why I'm running, co-hosting a Dragon Quest podcast instead of Final Fantasy.
That's true, but also I'm just like, I felt bad about it at first because I was like, I spent money on this brand new game, but yet I'm playing this game, I'm replaying a game that, you know, I beat 3 years ago and all this, like when I should be playing something new. But then it's one of those things where I'm like, you know what? It's my time. Like, the money's already spent, but it's still my time. And, you know, I'm going to do something that I enjoy. I mean, I'm going to die one day. And, like, do I want to spend my precious hours playing, like, hate playing something? Or would I rather spend those hours, you know, playing something that I actually enjoy and that, you know, leaves a big smile on my face when I'm playing it?
That's what I was telling Jennifer, actually. She was like, why are you still playing this if you are not having fun? And it's like, because I spent all the money on it. It's like, I've already paid for it. But it's getting to the point where, with like you, I'm just like, that may not be worth it. It just doesn't seem... It's just not fun. And that's what it comes down to above anything else, is I'm not having fun with it. You know, everything else aside, systems, mini games, having to unlock the towers, Chadley yelling at me every 30 seconds to do something new, whatever it is, I'm just not having fun. And it doesn't matter why. And for the people who are, I'm really happy about it. Like, I'm really glad that there are things that you can do, but I'm really tired of vacuuming things and moving carts and boxes around really slowly. Jennifer asked me, watching me play it at one point, she was like, you look like you're vacuuming. And I'm like, I am vacuuming. You see that green mist? I'm vacuuming it up so the elevator works. And she just died laughing. Because one of the things that she has always made fun of on Kingdom Hearts was that she wanted to escape and play in Kingdom Hearts. And then she had to go weed the books in the Beast's library, when that's what she did at work at the library, was weeding books. And she was like, look at that. I'm working. And it's like, that's kind of how it was. Like, I'm vacuuming. Like, this is, and it moves so slowly, and it's so just, I'm just not having fun, and it sucks.
Yeah. You said you're still at the beginning of Dragon Quest VI.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten out of the prologue yet.
But something you told me yesterday or whenever we were talking about that I forgot about is you said you played the Super Nintendo version a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I got a little way through it.
You got past Somnia Castle, though, right?
Yeah, I got out of the open prologue stuff and got to playing it. But it was something that I ended up not finishing and going back to. But I was doing it on an emulator because I wanted to see the original art and everything since it looked so much like Chrono Trigger. Like, that was one of the big draws for that one for me was playing it on the Super Nintendo just because of how pretty that style of pixel graphics tend to be.
Yeah. I really like the DS version of the game a lot. I haven't tried it, the mobile version of it.
I haven't either. I know so many people say that the mobile version of 4 is like the definitive version, but its controls were just so awful for me. Like, I couldn't do it. Like, I had to go to the DS. Like, it was...
4's had the party chat. Like, that's cut from the DS.
Yeah, game. Yeah, true. Yeah.
So,
I mean,
so
that
technically
is cool.
The mobile version does have more content and, like, a more definitive version of it. But, yeah, I agree just from not liking playing mobile games.
And what got me on it, like, I don't usually like touch controls that try to emulate console controls, but... That one was what got me was the shoulder buttons having to rotate everything around as much as you do in 4, that it was just clunky and awkward, and I never wanted to do that. I didn't have a problem navigating it, but it was having to figure out like which angles everything needed to be at was much, much more annoying than I wanted it to be for that many hours in a game. But I had no problem with the DS version, which is why I'm looking forward to 6 as well. 5 and 6.
Yeah. I just really like playing like handheld like that. It just makes it so much easier when you're playing through like a 50-hour, 60-hour, 100-hour JRPG. It's just like having it on the DS or the Switch is just so nice because you can just sleep it, fold it, whatever, depending on what you're playing on.
Yep.
And get on with your day. Yeah.
And that's how I play stuff like this, almost exclusively in just little tiny bits and pieces with just closing my 3DS and putting it aside.
My goal is to get past, is to unlock the job system and everything. Like, I'll trade Abby, get the job system by this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see, because the first time I played it, it took me about 10 hours to get there. But I also remember very vividly I got lost.
Oh.
Almost immediately, whenever you you get to the part where the hole in the ground, and it's like you can go down into the hole to visit other cities, or do you need to keep exploring the above world? I was like, surely I'm not supposed to go down in that hole. So I got sidetracked by a lot of stuff for a while. And then I was like, what the heck am I supposed to do here? And just got really confused for a little while. And then I was like, that seems like something... Like late game, like you fall down into a hole and see another world. Like, that's something you do once your party's all buffed up and you're like level 50. Not something you do instantly at the beginning of a game.
Yep. I mean, that's what they do, though, is turn conventions on their head.
I know there was times like that I feel like I wasted some time. There's also a time, not to jump ahead or get into spoilers, the underwater segments of it where you can go around in that world. Like, I remember not getting lost, but just spending a lot of time there between liking it, but also making sure, like, I really wanted to find everything. Like, I didn't want to move on with the story and then find out, like, oh, cool, I missed this little town that just had some, like, optional content. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to keep playing it and everything. And between, I think I'll probably chill with Rebirth now.
Yeah, I think so.
Play DQ6, and then I'm sure I'll have DQ6 beaten by the time Sandland comes out, and then probably just focus on that. And then hopefully we can do our DQ6 episodes, because I'm very much enjoying Dragon Quest 6 again. And I mean, I've always enjoyed it. It's always been one of my favorites. hopefully people listening who have heard that DQ6 is bad will listen to this podcast and play DQ6 now, because it's fun. I like it.
From everything I've played of it so far, I really, really like it, like on the Super Nintendo version, the Super Famicom version, I guess, and the DS so far. It's the hardest thing for me to get into, is because I haven't played the DS in a while, is the two-screen like scrolling world with the top one and bottom one move and show you the entire, much more of the world, and like it's really cool, and I'm just not used to it.
Yeah. I got you.
I'm used to one of them being the map or something like that, and it looks really cool. It's just a little disconcerting at first.
Yeah, I gotcha. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode and kind of catching up with us a little bit. Remember, you can chat with us at Dragon Quest FM over on Blue Sky or Twitter. If you want to talk to me personally, you can find me at Dragon Quaston at both of those places.
You can find me on Twitter at Professor Beej and on Threads as well. I think I'm BJ Keaton on Blue Sky, but I never look at it, so good luck.
You should look
remember
at
we also have I should look at it, but
it's more talkative over there now because it you don't have to, it's not invite only, so I feel like I've seen a lot more people there now.
Yeah, I need to open up the app and look at it at some point.
Anyway, what were you saying? Something about a Patreon? Oh.
Our Patreon. Remember, we have a Patreon that you can go to patreon.com/DragonQuestFM and support the podcast.
And a huge shout out to all of our patrons, and also Ty for sending us a message after my episode about my friend Wade last week. I promise I'm going to respond. I read the whole thing, but I had to log in for Patreon and I forgot our password. And I was like, shoot. Because if I reset it, it resets it for me and BJ. So I've got to respond to that soon. But thanks for shooting that message our way, Ty. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.